Solitaire by Niels Krause-Kehr and read by Leighton Pugh for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. Ace. Even though it was a Monday and a day off for representative government, the Greenland room at Kristiansbro was full of journalists. At one end of the room, centrally located off the lobby between the parliamentary chamber and the former upper house chamber, stood a table and a chair. This is where it was going to take place. The luckiest of them had found a chair to sit on. Most of them were either standing or were sitting on the tables along one wall. There was a lot of chatter.
"Do you know what this is all about?"
"That was an uncouth bulletin you wrote last night. If you can wait until after 9, I can join you." "No, we haven't bought the house yet. I think it's too expensive."
"You have a hangover too."
"My goodness, that hairstyle really suits you." "If there's nothing in this, I'll have time to pick up the kids."
"When does it start?"
On the table lay a pile of small tape recorders. Not far away were the owners, ready to turn them on at the arrival of the main person. It was 4 p.m. According to the latest update from Ritzau, the press conference should be starting now. A woman pushed herself through the crowd. Under her arm she had a large ghetto blaster, which she placed on the far left-hand side of the table. Then she left again. The Greenland room was treading water. A couple of technicians made minor adjustments to their lighting setup. 3 floodlights threw a bright light on the table. The photographers checked their equipment. No screw-ups now. Then a murmur started, followed by a shout outside. The main person was on his way in. Smiling, he pushed his way through the throng. He sat at the table, bathed in the floodlights. The journalists jostled as they thrust forward to turn on their tape recorders.
"All right, everybody," said the man at the table. "Thank you for coming. For my part, this won't be a long press conference. I only have a brief statement to make."
He took a rhetorical pause.
"After careful consideration, I have decided that I no longer wish to take up the post of chairman of the Democratic Party. The decision hasn't been easy. For most of my life, the political leadership of the Democrats has been a goal I have sought fervently. I thought, and I still do, that I would be able to make a difference for the better. But for many reasons that I don't wish to go into detail about now, I have decided not to stand. The decision is final and has been made by me alone. I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who has supported me. It's possible that they will now be disappointed, but no one is indispensable in politics. If you start thinking that about yourself, then you're either a prisoner of your own desire for power, or have ascended so high that you are, in any case, unsuitable as a politician. And with that, I would like to end this, for my part, brief press conference." The main character looked around. The TV journalists, in particular, stumbled over each other's questions. No questions, or, well, that's not for me to decide. But there will be no answers. The only thing I want to add is that this morning I received something in the post that you should have the opportunity to hear." Then he took a cassette tape out of his inside pocket and put it in the ghetto blaster. "There's only this one copy. I don't know where it comes from. You can make of it what you will." He pressed the play button and left the Greenland room. Chapter 2. If only there had been a red light in town, or if only she had held it cautiously in fourth gear, as she usually did, and not changed up to fifth. If only they had had an extra cup of coffee that morning. If only they had taken the coast road. If only... But as if it were predetermined, a jumble of chance happenings came together on this October morning. A gentle right-hand bend, a gust of wind, a slight wobble from the girl on the bike, a little too much speed, a little too forceful a "look out" from her passenger.